Is it a busy day for you today? Is it lots of different sort of radio stations, different air-conditioned boxes you're going to be in?
Yeah, we're doing a couple of sessions, and then we're heading down to London tomorrow. We're going to do the one show tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Because the record's out on the 9th, we're doing a lot of promotion and stuff for it at the moment.
Is it good fun being out and doing promo?
It is. You know, I think it's quite a privilege. You know, because you've got a record, you spend a year making a record, writing all this stuff, and you want people to know about it. So, and people are interested. So, yeah, it's a cool thing to do.
And is it the first time on the one show?
I've never been on it before.
You've never been on it? It always seems like one of those shows that's just... We were just talking about it not that long ago, because it's very popular.
Yeah,
but they seem to go from like very light-hearted things to like extremely serious subjects. Yeah.
Mel Brooks, did you see when Mel Brooks was on it? That was amazing. Like, what
this show?
This show
is crazy. Yeah. But it is. It's mental, isn't it, that show? Yeah, that is going to be very... So. Are you just on there to perform, or will you be on the sofa looking concerned?
I think we're just performing. Yeah, we're closing the show.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't have to like sit on the sofa and look concerned.
Maybe we will. I don't know.
They probably don't trust us with the chat.
Oh dearie, mate. Let's just state that you've got a new album, like you say, Always Ascending. It's going to be out on February 9th. From what I've heard so far, I'm loving it.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I'm a big fan. Electronic music was sort of what I grew up with. And I think you guys have pretty much sounded like Kraftwerk and Sparks that we just played there. And you know, you did a collaboration with Sparks
as well.
Was it FFS?
That's right. FFS is the last record we made with Sparks. It's funny listening to This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us again. It just reminds me of being on tour with them and playing that song. And it's quite an odd song to play, like a really bizarre chord progression, but yeah, a cool piece of music.
They're back on tour again. I think they're coming to Leeds in May, I think. Sparks.
Aye, that's right. I know they're coming back later in the year. I'd recommend going to see them. They're a really fun band to see live.
Yeah, and I'd imagine, you know, when growing up and listening to them and then playing with them, that must have been...
it was a good laugh. Yeah, awesome. It was great. Really
unbelievable. Yeah. Really, really cool. But the new album, so has it been taking a long time to put together?
Well, I guess probably about a year altogether, I would say. So, like, with the writing, and of course, Julian, who's beside me in the studio just now, he joined the band. When was that?
August 2016.
Yeah. So you're the new boy.
I'm the new boy. Yeah, exactly.
What's it been like?
It's been dreadful. Yeah, they've been quite. It's quite upsetting, really.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's really good. I'm having a great time. Yeah.
Is it difficult going into a new into a band that's sort of been around for a little while?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think when they asked me to join, I think there was they were very concentrated on like, we're going to work on the new stuff and we just want you to come in and work on that. I don't think we played any of the old songs until we got to rehearsing for the tour, which was like a year after we started working on the album. So
yeah, we didn't play a single old song before we recorded, until after we recorded the album.
So it was like, okay, come in, but you know, we want your opinion on this. We want you to be yourself and not sort of be enslaved to like the old stuff.
We didn't want a session guy. We wanted somebody to join the band.
Yeah. Because you're pretty much an established artist in your own right
I did my own solo stuff as Meow Meow with Chemical Underground Records. And in fact, that's how we met, because mutual friends from Chemical Underground, Paul Savage and Emma Pollock from that great band, The Delgados, actually. Put us together. So, yeah.
See, it all comes together, all merges together. The
thing is, Glasgow's got, like Leeds, it's got a very strong music scene.
Yeah.
And all the bands tend to kind of know each other and hang out with each other. And yeah, it's a good way to find other people that are going to think in a similar way to you.
I think one of Leeds' finest, Kaiser Chiefs, I think they supported you guys a long time ago.
We drove past the cockpit this morning on the way here, and I was saying to the others, you know, last time we played the cockpit was in 2003 or maybe early 2004, and a local band opened up for us that were called the Kaiser Chiefs.
That's madness.
Yeah. I remember watching them going, "Hi, they're not bad, that band."
They'll do all right. They'll do okay. Yeah, it's closed down now, the cockpit.
No, that's a shame. That was a great venue.
Think it was some health and safety issues, I think. There was a lot of work they needed to do to it to keep it open.
That's a real shame.
It is a shame.
Good memories of that place.
When it comes to playing live, because you've got a tour coming up, I'm just going to get the old sheet here, which has got all the tour dates. You're coming back to Leeds on the 19th of February. at the O2 Academy. This tour looks pretty huge, actually, because you're not just doing the UK, you're doing Europe and further afield
as well.
That's
just the beginning of it. We're going over to the States now. We're going to Japan and across Asia and all across Europe and then Latin America later in the year.
My God.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, it's amazing. I always dreamed of getting to go on the road with a band when I was a kid, and to be still doing it now, God, I love it.
Yeah. What's it like being out on tour with a band? Because, you sort of hear all sorts of stories about what it's like to be in a tour bus. What goes on tour stays on
the
tour.
The most debauched thing that we have on the tour bus is Alex's special kettle.
Don't tell me about
this
that.
This isn't the thing that you put for you clear your sinuses with.
No,
one of those kettles.
But you know that expression you just came out with, what stays on the road? What goes on the road stays on the road.
Yeah.
I've changed it because it's not like that anymore. It's what goes on tour stays online.
So everything's on social media now, right? I've got you.
It's not quite the same as some of our band members have found in the past.
do you have your demands changed? Because everybody's sort of like, do you have a tour rider? Do you have certain things? Like, when you were younger, it was like, four crates of beer, and a packet of Cheetos.
The craziest thing that we have on the rider, it's actually the least rock and roll thing that we have on the rider, is a set of postcards and stamps.
That is so cool.
And so it means that, because when you're on tour, you go to these amazing places around the world. And it's good, like, my nana lives up the road in South Shields, and always send her a postcard and, send our family just a wee note saying, hey, still thinking of you while we're away over here.
That's nice. I like that. Postcards on a rider.
I mean, recommend it for every band. It's such a good thing to do.
That is a good idea. Do you have any particular requirements?
No, I'm pretty easygoing. I actually really like popcorn. I think of adding popcorn to the rider because I'm really into popcorn right now.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
One of these gourmet popcorns?
I know. I'm actually a bit against the gourmet popcorn thing because it's a bit like, it's like £2 for what is essentially like 20p's worth of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like the popcorn itself is amazing.
Yes.
So maybe I should all get actual corn and a wee popping machine and just make it myself.
Oh, yeah. One of those machines that would sit on the bus. Yeah. That's a really good idea. Because there's something about popcorn as well. Just eating it, you associate it with having a treat.
When you go to watch a film and you're just like in another world, and it sort of takes you out of yourself.
So you do like to make noise when you're in the cinema. That's what you're trying to tell us. There is a link, actually, because we used to do a thing called a music melee here on Radio Yorkshire, and quite often we'd do sort of Yorkshire bands versus other bands, and it always came up that Yorkshire band Franz Ferdinand. Right. And we're like, how's that work? But actually, Bob is from Dewsbury.
That's right, yes.
Which I did not realise.
Yeah, he's a Yorkshire lad. Yeah,
I think
we can
claim Franz Ferdinand as Yorkshire.
There's a good quarter of the band is Yorkshire.
There you go. So 25% is Yorkshire. That means you're all Yorkshire, I think. That means you're all Yorkshire.
Happy to be claimed.
Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Just sort of want to talk a little bit, and we're going to play Always Ascending in a second. But I just want to talk about the electronic music and your... The sort of influences you had. Was it sort of Kraftwerk initially? Because you did a documentary on Kraftwerk.
I think when I was a kid, Kraftwerk was definitely my first experience of electronic music in the pop charts.
Yeah.
But probably my first experience of electronic music was the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, Delia Derbyshire, without even realising it. In the sort of late 70s and through the 80s, all those TV shows and their themes, it was electronic music created by these total pioneers of electronic music. And if you think of the Doctor Who themes, it's actually a pretty radical piece of music.
Yeah.
You would have been sort of something completely different in the 60s when it came out.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah. It must have been astonishing. And incredible. What was the other woman that worked in the radio? Daphne Oram, yeah, that's the other one. There has been an electronic influence on the making of this record, but I guess what we've tried to do is, instead of sequencing it and programming it, which you would often do with electronic music, is to play it live and to keep the essence of a raw rock and roll band and a live performance at it and sort of play what you would hear in an electronic piece of music or a piece of dance music.
Yeah.
And that way you keep that sort of, that humanness and that rawness.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose you come from an electronic music background yourself
well. Like, my own stuff was quite electronic. And like,
You started working at the BBC, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I worked at
Radiophonic Workshop.
Yeah. I didn't. Do you know? Actually, I did a little bit of sound design for radio. Yeah, but quite a long time ago. But yeah, it was. My interest has always been in like. I mean, I've liked a lot of music, but you know, I was got really into dance music when I was a kid, and then it's just sort of carried on. So my own solo stuff's quite electronic. And so when we met actually, and I came down to your studio and like saw the crazy collection of synthesizers you've got, I was like, right, I need to get in on this. Yeah. This is good.
Another thing, I always felt like I always loved bands that didn't respect the boundaries of genres.
Yes.
You know, like either on the electronic side or on the, I don't know, rock side, if you want, for just want of any other word. Even I think back to like the dance music that I liked when I was a kid, like, or in my teens, like, think bands like the KLF. You know, like the bands like the KLF, amazing. Like, they've taken all this great influence from Detroit and Chicago, and they were sticking in the MC5 as well. Like you know, mixing it all up. There's no, because dance music is as bad as heavy metal for having subgenres and people that won't.
Oh, it's
go
very clicky.
Outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Clicky.
And I don't feel like that at all. I feel like if something's good, you know, like take it. And it's when you clash things together and mix it all up, that's when you come up with something new, and that's when you come up with something exciting.
I always find that the interesting thing about dance music is the cliques in it. It's like, you know, well, I'm more of a happy house person. I can't stand deep house. Well.
It's true. It's true.
No, more of a semi-detached house.
Yeah. when you're talking a collection of synthesizers, please tell me you've got a Roland SH. 101.
I don't. That's the only one. That's the Kaiser Chiefs synth of choice.
So it's the one I had when I was like 16.
I did have one of them a long time ago, but somebody nabbed it.
Yeah, oh,
they're,
really?
They're great synths. Like, yes, really fun to use.
I had one for a bit. They're really good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the sub oscillator. So
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
Because
I
remember our music teacher, Mr. Brockbank, bought one in, and that was what he spent his money on, on his budget. He bought it was a Roland SH-101, and we were like, is this?
That's him. Good for Mr. Rockbank.
And then he started playing like Man Parishes and stuff on it, and we're like, this is unbelievable. And everybody wanted one for Christmas that year. He was like the coolest music teacher in the world.
That's
great. Let's play the single, shall we? Well, I'll give you a choice. We're going to play both of them. Which one do you want to hear first? Do you want to hear Always Ascending first, or do you want to hear the other single though?
Feel the Love Go.
Which
one should we do? Let's start with Always Ascending, since it was the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here we go then. Franz Ferdinand, Always Ascending. This is off the album of the same name, which is out on the 9th of Feb.
Talk to me. Ah, they wake me up. Come on, wake me up.
Franz Ferdinand, Always Ascending, probably would only sound better with an SH-101. I'm just saying, that just layered on top would have probably been the way to go.
A bit of squelching.
Maybe for the remix. Has you been working on this album a long time? Has it taken a long time to put together? And how much influence has the new boy had?
So when we started working on it, we kind of had this principle. You know... I remember when I started playing guitar, I'd get these songbooks, and I think a lot of people get them when they're playing guitar or learning an instrument, and it would be like, I don't know, the Kinks' greatest hits, and you'd learn to play the chords.
Yes.
Or like the Queen greatest hits book or whatever.
Yeah.
And I loved them because it was just the song existing in its own right, and you could play it whatever way you wanted. And so when we were writing, we wanted to write a set of songs that could be played in any way. So they just existed as good songs to start off with.
Yeah.
And once we had this collection of songs, then we started working on the sound. And so a lot of the songs did start off just as a chord progression and a vocal melody. And then when Julian joined the band, that's when we really sort of started working on the arrangements and getting the sound together. Because I think that's when you start pushing yourself into places that you haven't been as well before, because you kind of think, what haven't we done as a band before?
Yeah.
How haven't we sounded before? Let's try and do this. And if the song's good, then you can't really break it.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because, like, you know, you've got some very famous songs, and is it difficult? Because that was, I mean, Take Me Out was one of your first singles. I think, was it second single?
Second single, yes.
And after that, almost that's like a badge of honour for the band, that song, because like it's been used so many different places, so many different films, TV shows, adverts, and it sort of becomes a biggest thing on its own, doesn't it, really? Like that. Is it hard afterwards? Are you trying to sort of get back to that, or do you sort of just have to think, dismiss that, move
no,
on?
It's kind of... It's incredible, you know, like having one of those songs. Like, I'm not going to moan about it. It's great, you know. And it's funny, I've seen other bands talk. Like, it happens to a lot of bands, you know. Like I know Radiohead were like that with Creep. And
yes.
the way they reacted to it was they didn't want to play it for a long time.
Yeah.
I know Nirvana felt a bit like that with Smells Like Teen Spirit as well. It's a fun song to play live. People like it. And also it brought a lot of people to the band, and a lot of people discovered a lot of other things about the band as well. And hey, no, I'm not moaning. I'm not complaining.
Where's the most sort of random place you've heard it, or the sort of TV show that you thought, oh, I did not know it was on that?
Oh, my mum always gets back to me and sort of says, oh, you know, I heard your music on... There's a song from the first album called 40 Feet, and apparently that gets used on Bargain Hunt all the time. And that's
really?
One of my mum's favourite programmes.
You're on
Bargain Hunt again, Alex.
That's brilliant. Maybe Tim Wannacott's a massive fan.
You just don't know.
Now, usually when I get a band in, I do a little a quiz.
Right.
Like, for example, I had Turin Breaks on a couple of days ago. So I asked them questions on how much knowledge they had on Turin and also Breaks. So just to sort of like just to check up. Now,
How did they do?
They didn't do too badly.
Right.
I've got to be
really?
Honest with you. Yeah, they didn't do too. Although they didn't get the name Juventus, which was a bit of a surprise.
Wow,
really,
that's
I mean,
pretty terrible.
I think they thought Juventus United, Turin United, was an actual team, which is obviously
right,
not.
Okay.
But with your band name, apart from obviously asking questions about a certain person that got assassinated,
I'm sort of
thinking, right, well, in Yorkshire, France is the country just across across
yep,
the pond.
Exactly.
Ferdinand is a film that came out this summer. So we're going to test your knowledge on the country France,
okay.
And the animated comedy Ferdinand. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Bull right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. All right, here we go. Okay, so if you get a question correct, you'll hear this sound. This is my 5-year-old daughter. That's Isabel. And if you get it incorrect, you get that sound. Yeah, I don't think you've got any headphones on. You won't do it. Okay, so question number one. What is the French flag known as?
A tricolore.
Is the right answer.
Wowee.
Wowee indeed. Question number two. Who voices the bull, Ferdinand, in the film of the same name? If you're a fan of wrestling, then you'd know. I'm not a fan of wrestling.
Is it Hulk Hogan?
Is it Hulk Hogan?
I'll go with that. I don't know.
It is not Hulk Hogan. It's John Cena.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. Question number three. How many people live in France?
Oh, over a million.
Over a million. Well, that
at
is...
least.
At least. Definitely at least, yeah. 67,201,000.
That's what I figured. I didn't want to show off.
A Scottish-flavoured Ferdinand question for you now.
Oh, right.
Which Scottish actor appears in Ferdinand?
Oh,
James McAvoy, is it?
Oh, yeah, James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, you say? No.
It's Sean Connery,
it's the other one, David Tennant.
David Tennant. Right, okay.
It's not sure. He's retired, hasn't he?
That's what I hear,
I just gutted it. I'm retired. Yeah, yeah. Final question. Mm. Okay. Who is the current French president?
Oh, Macron.
Is the right... That was... there we go. That wasn't too bad at all. So we got one... We've basically got all the French ones right, so we're going to go for 3 out of 5.
We did make the record in France. So
did you really?
Yeah. But we have seen that film 3 times.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not true.
Making a record in France, I always hear about sort of bands and they go sort of abroad to make records. You know, there's some very famous stories about bands not doing much work in like
Happy Monday springs to mind.
Definitely. In Jamaica or somewhere like that, I think they were for the second album. Is it just a departure? Do you see it as a working holiday?
I mean, it wasn't strictly true that we made it in France because we spent a bit. It was developed in Scotland in our own space, and then we took it down to London to record with producer Philippe Zadar, who's from Cassius, French producer, and then went to his studio in Paris to finish the record. So good amount of time was spent in Paris working on it.
It's because it's where he lived, you know, and then so that's why we went over here. But man, like an excuse to hang out in Paris for a couple of weeks, I wasn't complaining. I wasn't moaning. No.
I need to ask you about your fans, okay? The Franz Ferdinand fans. Because am I right in thinking there was some fan fiction done a number of years ago? Was it like sort of Slash fiction?
Oh, God, yeah.
The band?
There's still a lot of that going around.
Is it really?
Aye.
Is that weird when like fans come up with and they make sort of like different stories up of it? Is that... Like...
I it's great that people have a strong and active imagination.
They were very strong and active. There was definitely that.
They certainly were, yes.
If people want to find out a little bit about that, maybe just have a look on the internet.
Yeah, look up Slash fiction. Not for the faint of heart.
No, not at all. I noticed as well that did you get recognised for a member of MI6 at one point as well?
That's right. There was a I can't remember his name. Maybe Tomlinson. In the 90s, he was a double agent over in Russia. And when the first time we went over to Moscow to play a gig, we're flying out the airport, and I was just checking in, and then suddenly the guy kind of looked up. Looked at me, pressed a button, looked really concerned, and I was surrounded by Russian soldiers with rifles. I was taken off to an interrogation room, and I had to prove that I wasn't this double agent who had just by chance chosen my name as his pseudonym.
Whoa.
And so for years after that, I was still logged in the system as this guy who had been a double agent. And it sounds like a completely made-up story, but it's totally true. And it was a slightly terrifying moment, just being in this little room, it was a bit surreal. No. I wasn't a double agent. That's what you say.
You're going to say that if you're a double agent.
Exactly,
you're never going to tell
us,
are you? Or you're a triple agent.
I'm a guy in a band.
That would be the scariest thing ever, especially if it's a foreign country and then they're doing it.
But
as well.
Also, if you think about it, like being a guy in a band is perfect cover. If you want to be
lots
a double
of
agent,
touring.
Yeah, lots of going to different places. You can bump off the odd ambassador here and there.
I like it. Yeah, yes, exactly. Julian, you've never got recognised for a member of MI6?
I've never got recognised for a member of MI6. I did briefly consider becoming a spy.
Did you really? They were asking for people.
I think I'm too tall, though. You have to be under a certain height.
Right.
They're only after mini spies.
Yeah,
it's so you can fit in the suitcase like that.
Oh, my goodness.
I could chat to you guys all day. I really could. The tour gets underway you were on tour. You just come back from Tokyo.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be like, you know, crazy eight bonkers. I've never been to Japan.
It's amazing. It's an amazing place. It feels like you're stepping into the future. And it's always been like that over the years. You see trends and electronic developments that hit the UK maybe 5 years later. It's a really amazing place.
Yeah, the beer pouring machine.
I didn't see that.
So you put your glass in it and then it like tips it up to the exactly the right
amazing.
Angle and then like very slowly sort of moves it down so that you don't get any
froth. And then you have all these pet cafes as well, so like you get ones where you can go and pet kittens and that sort of thing. Which is the thing,
of course,
now they've got what was it, owl cafes?
Yeah, there's a penguin cafe.
Yeah,
there's a monkey cafe where they bring you your drinks.
That doesn't sound
the monkeys
hygienic.
Serve you. Yeah.
Monkeys throw things and not necessarily
things as well.
Exactly.
Certain activities you wouldn't want your barman to be doing in front of you.
The tour continues. They are going to be back in Leeds on the 19th of February, and that's at the O2 Academy in Leeds. 19th of February, that the album is out the 9th of February. It's called Always Ascending. Alex, Julian, thank you so much for coming in this morning. I really, really appreciate
it. Thanks for having us.
We'll play the other track now, shall we? This is Feel the Love Go by Franz Ferdinand. Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
What's that thing that you're doing? Hey, what's that thing that you do? No, you're not that thing that you're doing. For the things that you do are not who you are. Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over? Sing our friend. We send love. Sing, I'm an enemy. And we send more. The things that you're doing. See, oh, see the things that you do. See the things that you do are not who you are. Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over? See, I'm a friend. And we stand love.